Reading from Ephesians. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm.
Well, listen, thank you for joining us this morning. It's going to be a doozy because I'm absolutely convinced God has a blessing for you, because the devil has done everything he can already today to mess this up. And those of you that have been working behind the scenes, you know our God is greater. That's all I can say. But we're going to do this for the Lord, so you prepare. All right, everybody got your Bible app out and looking at Daniel 3. We'll be there in a moment. In Daniel chapter 1, we were introduced not only to Daniel, but to his three companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Like Daniel, they were young men, teenage boys, taken from Judah into captivity and trained to serve before the king. And like Daniel, they were blessed by God. They impressed the king and entered into his service. In a kingdom gone bad, they were the best of the best. Daniel chapter 3 reveals even more about the character of these three young men as they are faced with a situation that demands they either stand up or bow down. Bow down to a 90-foot gold statue of the king, worship the image of gold Nebuchadnezzar had set up, or immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. That would be like me setting up a 90-foot water tower on I-72 and asking you every time you drive by there and see my image on it that you bow down and worship. Now, how ridiculous is that? But how many of you went down I-72 last week? Did you think of me? If you weren't here last week, too bad. Listen to it online. And then go down I-72 into Champaign. This is one of those chapters in the Bible that we have heard since we were small children. We learned it in Sunday school and in Vacation Bible School, which, by the way, begins tonight at 6 o'clock. You see all this? Cave Quest. Don't forget, you can pre-register your kids this morning outside here in the foyer right after church. But Daniel 3 is one of those passages we think we know inside out, upside down, and forward and backwards. And consequently, it's also one of those passages that we often neglect in our search for deeper truth in the Bible. And even though many of us have traveled a long way down the road of life, there are still some valuable lessons in the familiar stories of the Bible. So I want to look this morning into these precious verses again, because I believe there is help here. I believe there is help for those enduring trials today. I think there is help for all of us. You see, we live in a world and in a time that is becoming increasingly unfriendly, intolerant, and even hostile toward God, toward Jesus Christ, toward the Bible, toward the church, and toward the born-again believer, much like Babylon in Daniel chapter 3. I want to travel back in time to ancient Babylon, a kingdom also unfriendly to God and His ways. I want to recount an incident that has fascinated many, young and old, and look in on three young men with backbones of steel, who would not bend, who would not bow, who would not burn. That would make a good song. Young men with faith greater than the fire. I want to watch them as they endure their furnace of affliction and learn some lessons of faith in the face of fire. Like Daniel 1, I believe this text illustrates the power of strong faith in the lives of those who are young, and why it is so important to teach our children a strong faith while they are young. You see, these four young men were 15, maybe 16 years old when all of a sudden their life was turned upside down. They were ripped away from their lives of nobility. They were ripped away from everything and everyone they had grown up with. They were ripped away from their teachers of faith and their temple of worship. They were ripped away from their fellow countrymen who worshiped their God freely and were taken off into captivity, enrolled in an institution of higher learning in a foreign place, taught a different language and a different culture and about other gods. But they were rooted in the God of their fathers, in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the God Jehovah, Yahweh, Adonai. And they were grounded in their beliefs so deeply that in spite of their circumstances, and they are bad ones, they resolved not to defile themselves in this captivity, in this foreign land, and to always be faithful, trusting, and obedient to their God. Parents, listen carefully. If it has not already happened, you better prepare yourself, because your children will one day, in their mid to late teens, be ripped away from your home. They will be ripped away from their church and their support system of faith. And they will be thrown into the captivity of institutions of higher learning that will teach them other languages and other cultures, but that will also challenge their faith and teach them about other gods. And if you have not grounded them in the faith, they will stop attending church. They will accept teachings they did not grow up with in your home, and many will wander from the faith. Now more than ever, you must ground your children in the faith. And listen carefully, that is not the job of the church. And it is certainly not the job of the government. That's the job of the home. Your church will support you. Your church will complement your values at home. We will supplement your teachings at home. And we will encourage your youth. But when you give us your kids 5, maybe 8 hours a week, you cannot expect us to be overwhelming against the time they have at school and in sports and in front of the TV and on their texting on their phone and all the other influences in their lives. You must ground them in their faith at home. The inspiring story of these four young men continues in Daniel chapter 3. It's been approximately 28 years from Daniel chapter 2 to Daniel chapter 3. 28 years ago, Daniel and his three friends really impressed the king. And he made them over all the province of Babylon. That's how impressed he was. And evidently, for 28 years, everything has gone smoothly under their leadership, much like the leadership in Egypt under Joseph. No complaints so far. But in that time, King Nebuchadnezzar has ordered the building of a giant statue of gold. Scholars disagree on what that statue was. If it was a statue of one of their gods of Babylon, or if it was a statue of the king himself. That really didn't make much difference. Many believe that it was in response to Daniel's interpretation of King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. You remember that dream when he interpreted it was there was this great statue and the head was gold, which represented what? Babylon, the king. That's King Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, Babylon. It would be the greatest kingdom that would be followed by others, each one less powerful, less important, until finally it's just feet of clay and it all crumbles. And so King Nebuchadnezzar, many believe, built an entire statue of himself all out of gold. 90 feet tall, 9 feet Why? Now it's been completed in chapter 3, and it's time for the dedication ceremonies. He did not invite, he ordered all of the officials in the land to attend. His press secretary came out and announced the king's orders. When the band begins to play, he said, everybody on planet Earth must fall down and worship the image of gold the king had set up. And anyone who does not will be immediately thrown into a blazing furnace. And after the first chorus, here came the media to falsely report to the king.
The Jews didn't bow down. I saw them. The Jews didn't bow down. The Jews didn't worship your statue, O king. I saw them.
Can you tell I'm being a little sarcastic this morning? And in a not so kingly manner, King Nebuchadnezzar ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. And the Bible says he was furious at them. I mean, come on, you guys. What's this all about? Hadn't the king treated you well all these years? Hasn't the king made you an important part of his cabinet? You can at least be supportive. Be loyal. You see, the king really liked these guys because he kind of wanted to make an exception to his own decree. What did the decree say? That if you did not bow down, what was going to happen? You would immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. Now, that's what should have happened. But it's not. But after all, it's the king. So the king kind of bargains with these guys. He's really upset with them, but it's like, come on. Come on now, I'm going to give you a second chance. They had made quite an impression on him, not only back in the day, but through the years. So he actually gives them that second chance. It's like he's saying to them, okay, playtime's over, guys. Come on, don't embarrass me here in front of everybody. Let's get serious. So I'm going to tell the band, let's play that chorus one more time. And this time, just bow down and worship my golden image, and all will be good with the world again. They should have already been in the blazing furnace. You see what I'm saying? He made an exception here. He's trying to get this smoothed over. Come on now, let's play nice. Let's just get along. But he adds, don't mess with me. I'm not kidding you. If you don't bow down this time, I will throw you into that blazing furnace. And then he gets cocky. And what God, notice he used a little G, what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? So come on now, play nice. And I love it. Before the band could strike a chord, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand up for the God they love and serve. And in verse 16, they stand up to the king. They stand up for their God. And they stand up to the king. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, you have asked what God will save you? The God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. And everybody loves this verse, don't you? But even if he does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the image of gold you have set up. Well, as you might imagine, that bold stand pleased the king to no end. Not. And the rest of this chapter is so well written, it doesn't need a commentary to understand it. So let's just let it speak for itself. Pick up at verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And that kind of explains how come things went so bad so quickly here. So let's just let it speak. and his attitude toward them changed. How many of you can identify with that? People who were once your friends, you thought, who supported you, and then you take a solid stand on the side of righteousness, and their attitude toward you changes. And when their attitude changes, everything changes. So, he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. How mad do you think the king is? You can't stand up against me. And I'll prove it to you. Stoke that baby up 7 times hotter. I am the great and mighty Oz. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar. Just don't look behind the curtain. And commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie them up. Now, you do get why that little detail is sewn in there, don't you? Because if I tied them up, the king would say, look, you didn't tie them up very good. You don't know how to tie a good knot. So he got some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie them up and to throw them into the blazing furnace. Now that was the plan. Verse 21, so these men, that is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, wearing their robes, their trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. Well, that's not exactly true. Keep reading. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the fiery furnace, the blazing furnace. They didn't get thrown in there. They weren't pushed. These guys were dead. They fell in there. And then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire? What do you think they said? Yeah. Why would they say, yeah, we saw it? Absolutely. They replied, certainly, Your Majesty. He said, well, look, I see 4 men. They're walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And by the way, that 4th guy in there looks like the son of the gods. I can almost see him turn around looking at them, and they know what he's going to say next. Somebody explain that to me. They couldn't even explain his dream. Explain this that's right there in front of all of us. See, he threw them into that fire 7 times hotter. Oh, mighty king here. Next thing you know, they've invited a friend over. They're now playing spades and walk around unharmed. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace. Now, get that he approached it. He wasn't going to get too close. Why? Yeah, it already killed 3 big old boys that tried to throw him in there. Remember, he wasn't going to get too close. But he approached the opening of the furnace and he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, get this. Servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here. Almost sounds like Jesus with Lazarus, doesn't it? You know the difference between these 4 guys and Lazarus when Jesus said, come out, don't you? You remember? Lazarus stinketh. Now I point that out because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and all these guys and advisors that had crowded around them, they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair on their head singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Whoa! Lazarus stinketh! These guys don't even smell of smoke. I say this graciously. I eat there once in a while, and you do too. But I remember when I first came to Muhammad almost 12 years ago, I ate at the hen house 1 time. You remember that 12 years ago? Best thing ever happened at restaurants when that lady ran her car through the front end and let all that smoke out. You can't even be around that stuff very long until you, your clothes and everything else are saturated with it. These guys were in the fiery furnace. It was stoked up 7 times hotter, and it didn't even smell like anybody had been around them with a cigarette. And here's the key to standing up for what you believe. Verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants." Now wait for it. Here's the key. They trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Listen carefully. These were not their words. These were the words of the king. These were the words of the king who said, "What God will save you? You cannot stand up against my hand." This was not their testimony. This was their witness. And the king said, they trusted him. They defied my orders. And they were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Young people, parents, grandparents, does that describe you? Does that describe how deeply rooted you are in your beliefs? Do you trust God like that? Are you willing to go that far for him? Verse 29. Therefore, I decree, the king still speaking, I decree that anybody, the people of any nation or language, who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now please notice that wording. He does not say if anybody says anything against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What's he say? Against their God. That if anybody says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way. And all God's people said, amen. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God is good. And all the time. You see, God has not promised to keep us from all trials and tribulations. He has promised to keep us through all trials and tribulations. I don't know that I can honestly say our congregation has more than its share of suffering. But I do know we have a great deal of it. We are not exempt from broken marriages. We are not exempt from broken communication between parents and their children. We are not exempt from the afflictions of cancer. We are not exempt from financial difficulties. We are not exempt from emotional upheavals and depressions. We are not exempt from the heartache of lost loved ones. But remember, God did not keep them out of the flame. God walked with them in the flame. Their faith was demonstrated in the flame. You see, when they were talking to the king, it was just talk. But when God allowed them to actually fall into the burning flames, they demonstrated what their words were worth. Watch this passionate illustration from one of my favorite pastors, Pastor T.D. Jakes. See if this makes sense to you. Can you see?
My oldest daughter, Cora, got in the kitchen yesterday and got some milk and some flour and some butter and some almond and vanilla and coconut and rum extract and about 80 eggs extract. And start mixing up all this stuff. All she had was flour, butter, milk, eggs, and the various extracts. That's all it was. She put it in a bowl. That's all it was. She stirred it up. That's all it was. She had taken it as far as she could go, but it had not been changed until she put it in the fire. She put the flour in the fire. It went in flour, but it came out a cake. God said, when I put you in the flour, you're going to find out what you're made of. You're going to go in one way, but you're going to come out.
Yeah. When God puts you in the fire, you're going to find out what you're made of. You're going to go in one way, but you're going to come out another. What a wonderful example of faith in these three young men. Committed to standing up for God, trusting and serving God no matter the consequences. Believing God can bring deliverance and willing to accept death if He doesn't. Someone once asked, what kind of faith do we have? Is our faith like a spare tire used only in the case of an emergency? Is our faith like a wheelbarrow, easily upset and must be pushed? Or is our faith like a bus, ridden only when it goes our way? Oh, may our faith be like that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A faith committed to trusting and serving the Lord always and demonstrating our faith in the face of the fire. That begins with a very personal surrender and commitment to God. That begins with a resolve to serve and worship no other. Is that the commitment you've made? Is that the resolve you've made? If not, today's a good day to start that. If it is, today's a good day to recommit to it. Father God, this morning, each of us will leave here and face trials of many kinds. And James tells us to count it all joy when we do. Not because the trials and the tribulations and the hardships are fun, but because they produce in us faith and endurance. They strengthen us. Father, my prayer is that as this world continues to squeeze in around believers, to try to push us back into the church houses on the corners on the weekend and to keep it all in there, my prayer is you'll give us a backbone. And help us to stand up before we ever think about bowing down. To stand up for you and to stand up to any opposition that comes our way. Because as we sang and read and preached about last week, if God is for us, who can be against us? Give us a backbone, Father. Because now more than ever, I believe even in our land, we're going to have to stand up or we're going to have to bow down. Examine our hearts and see if there is any wicked way in us. And then, Father, cleanse us and make us whole. Create in us a clean heart. Give us a deeper commitment and resolve to be who you want us to be. And Father, if there are those not only here but that will be within our reach this week who are seeking for that something bigger, greater, and something more that they can cling to and surrender their life to, help us to present Jesus before them in a way like never before. and we will give you the glory. Because, Father, I'm not the least bit interested in people being in awe and being amazed by Muhammad Christian Church. But I want more than anything in this world for everyone to stand amazed and in awe of the God of Muhammad Christian Church. So, Father, let them see you through us in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen.